Now, this prefabricated stone brought to build a temple is the wisdom of the Inner Father, which alone can build your consciousness of the soul body. You're turning away from the outer, aren't you, in the silence? You can't just walk around with your eyes closed or your ears with little things in them. You're going to hear dynamite. You're going to hear airplanes and glass shattering because of the supersonic plane. You're going to hear all kinds of sounds as we do. But that won't be just here. It's wherever you are. And you've got to get used to the fact that wherever there is outer sound, there's something in you that responds to it that you've got to prevent from responding to it. Loose him and let him go. You must develop the capacity to move through the visible outer world, getting your nourishment from the prefabricated inner stone, the stone of truth, the eternal truth, the inner bread. And so pretty soon we're developing a capacity to detach. We hear it, we see it, we touch it, but we are more detached daily as we recognize the need to build the soul body. Perhaps earlier we had no motive other than maybe human comfort. Now we know that every time we can overcome anything in this human world, we are just that much further ahead in our soul body. The soul body is developed by your capacity to overcome the sense of a physical world. Sometimes you get so you invite the challenges. You know, you develop a capacity where you feel capable and you're so happy about it that you want more of a test. Like a warrior who wants to prove how strong he is. We develop a capacity to meet the challenge and we want more challenges. And the reason we want them is because every challenge is an opportunity to develop the soul body consciousness to a greater extent. The whole world teaches you in that manner. You think of it as, why is it here? It's part of a magnificent plan. Everything in this world is a temptation to accept it as what it appears to be. And in overcoming the temptation of accepting it as it appears to be, you develop this inner silence which can not respond. And in this inner silence which is non-responsive, non-reactive, non-resistant, non-resentful, finally, you catch on, it's only the world mind in you that was resentful and responsive to the outer world and its problems. The same world mind that created them tries to make you react to them. And when you're onto that little trick of the world mind, you see that the inner silence, which receives direct guidance from the Spirit, is made possible by your purification of the sense evidence which has piled up through the centuries. That's what the inner temples are all about in this outer courtyard and the inner courtyard. These are degrees of purification. All of the ceremonies represent degrees of purification. The overcoming that is so often spoke of is the overcoming of the beliefs of the sense mind. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs in the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. You see the resemblance to the Ark of Noah, the three levels? What are those three levels? Your soul, the fifth day, your spirit, the sixth day, your Christhood, the seventh day. Without these three levels, we just walk around a little higher than the animals. But wherever you see love pouring forth, those three levels are working in that individual. Some more than others, but you can recognize the signs that the three chambers, the lower, the middle, and the higher, are working in that individual. They're not just a step above an animal. They are moving into the realization of divinity. They are developing the inner silence to the lower levels, which we call the human, the mineral, the animal, the vegetable. Jumping over to the 24th verse. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherubim, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherubim, from the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part were 10 cubits. It's the same as Solomon being 19 years old. The two cherubim were 10 cubits. The male, the female, the inner and the outer united, so that the tree of life within is expressing its fruitage without. It is a statement about oneness, outer and inner, synchronized. So that's why we forget the outer. The outer will take care of itself if you've got the inner. If you haven't got the inner, your outer is just frustration. If you've got the outer will flow. The kingdom will become the outer or the added things. And these two cherubim, their wings are touching. The union of the male and the female attributes, the union of the inner and the outer, is the sequence and the secret of our harmony. Now, when your will is the inner, those two cherubim aren't touching. You're not in the 10 cubits. When your will is the inner, you're in the separation of mankind. Now suppose again you were in the spirit. And the Father said, what would you wish? What would your answer be? In John, we remember that when Jesus came upon the first few disciples who were working with John the Baptist, and they came upon him and they had a conversation, he said, what do you seek? It's the same as God saying within Solomon, what do you wish? What do you seek? I seek to live in my spiritual identity. And that is the fullness of divine wisdom, knowledge, and manifestation. For to live in your spiritual identity is life eternal. To live in your spiritual identity is to witness the flow of the treasures of the kingdom into visible divine manifestation. When we are told to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the word forgiveness does not mean what it seems to, nor the word debts. Because when you live in your I-ness, karma is broken, and that's the debt. Karma is the debt you pay for the past incarnations of not living in I-ness. That's the debt. All those centuries of not living in I-ness accumulates what is called your debt, your karma. And now as you live in I-ness, your karma, your debts of the past are dissolved. And this is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the sun shining through the clouds. Forgiveness is I shining through the obscured human vision, which manifests that which is not there. Forgive us our debts is the statement that when I live in I, when I live in thy kingdom, which is come, then my karma is shattered. And as my karma is shattered, wherever I look, I hold no man in bondage because I can now forgive their debts. But not while I am in debt. While I am in karma, I have no power to forgive someone else's karma. It is only as you are released from karma that you can help release others from theirs. As we forgive our debtors. So the beauty of Solomon, 3,000 years ago, imagine that, continues to confirm what we have been learning from Jesus, from Joel, from Paul, from John, from Mary Baker Eddy, from anyone who has taught truth on this earth. We find collaboration wherever we turn. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubim were of one measure and one size. That means they had brought the outer and the inner into equilibrium or polarity. There was a balance. There wasn't all this will inside and nothing showing for it. And if you remember, there is a constant statement by the Master, faith is nothing without works. The balance, then, is when your faith is balanced by your works. All this verbal faith is nothing. I believe means nothing. Your mind can never really believe. But when your works are balancing off your faith, it is because you have attained soul consciousness. And when you attain soul consciousness, you will find your faith and your works are of the same size. Now I can measure then within myself whether I am developing my soul consciousness by whether or not my works are beginning to show forth in proportion to my faith. If the works are not showing forth, the works of spirit, you should know that you have in some way fallen back into the human mind. The works do not show if you're in the mind. Thank you.
mentioned.
And he set the cherubim within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. When you live in your soul consciousness further, there will be no inner and no outer. There will just be the kingdom. The outer vanishes. The inner vanishes. The veil of separation between here I do this and out there it appears is gone. And this is the fullness of being. Some of you have had that experience when there was no inner and outer. It was all one. Now that is the meaning of speaking with tongues. When your inner and your outer are one, you are speaking with tongues. You are manifesting instantly the inner divine will. When you have the experience and the repetition of the experience, you'll see the meaning of soul power in a way that makes human power look silly. Unfortunately, it is only something that will happen to those who are pure at heart. But there is a level of purification at which it must happen. There's nothing can stop it. This is when the wings of the cherubim touch. The outer and the inner become one and manifest. The will and the manifestation are one. You see, there's no separate will and separate manifestation. It just appears that way to us because of time. But in the oneness, the completed oneness, where time does not exist, manifestation and will are simultaneous. When it happens to you, sit back quietly and think about it. Think of the progress you have made, thank the Father, be still, and wait for more instruction. Too often when it happens, we're so excited that we want to tell everybody, and before you know it, we've lost it. Instead of taking the moment at that time to sit back and say, what has happened to me? You see, at that point, you're in a better position to know and to receive further instruction. And so remember, when this happens to you, finger to the lips, there's plenty of time to talk about it, but go inside further and rest there and wait for further instruction, because it's instruction you'll get from no outer source. That is only a preparation for the permanent consciousness which manifests the will of God always. All of these things may be a little ahead of us in time. It's good to know about them, because when they happen, often we are so frightened, we really are out of our wits. And sometimes we have prevented our real demonstration by recoiling, backing away, saying, wait, Father, I'm not ready for that. We've all done that. It just becomes too much, too overpowering, and we can feel something being taken away from us that leaves us not in control. We don't like that feeling. And yet that spirit saying, trust me. Let go. Stop being a mortal being. Of course, those of you who have passed that point where you're frightened when the spiritual activity takes control away from you, you have found that you have made great strides. You've got to float down the river like Moses, in a basket, wherever the tide takes you. And that is your meekness under the Spirit. Give it its reins. Don't try to hold on with your human sense of it ought to go this way or that way or let's do it tomorrow. This is what we've been working for, and when the moment comes, be ready for it. Have your lamp trimmed. Now, ultimately, you're going to have a permanent inner contact, right? And that's your teacher. There's no one in the outer world is going to be able to say to you, do this or do that, because your inner teacher is more than a teacher. It is substance. It is the mind behind the prefabricated stone. It is the power. It is the silent hammer, the silent axe. It is the only power. And as it constructs with bricks of truth, bricks of wisdom, bricks of life, your awareness of your own inner substance, suddenly you can feel another body. Another body, a real one. Not made with hands. Not born in the physical womb, but born in the spiritual womb of the infinite I. That is the body we are building, and it lives forever, and it is real. And when that is your body, please remember that although millions of others are unaware of it, it is their body. It is the infinite, invisible body. You must find your way to it through the soul as it builds the temple not made with hands. That temple becomes your conscious awareness of your infinite, invisible body. Present now, real now, living now. And that invisible body lives in the seventh day. All other days are in the seventh day. All other sense of life is already incorporated into your infinite invisible body, and you can accept it this very day and be true to it as your only body. Now, we could go on with Solomon for a long time, but we're not going to. I think his points are made reasonably well at this moment, that he was constructing an outer replica of the infinite invisible body because he had found it. And that's why no expense was spared. This was beyond price and is beyond price. We are selling all that we have of this world by transforming consciousness to the awareness of soul, marrying spirit, birthing the Christ consciousness, which is I am, the infinite Christ body now. And even though I haven't the fullness of the understanding of it, I am the infinite Christ body now. No one can take the truth away. And you must accept yourself to be this. All right? The temple built by Solomon was also the Christ body of Jesus. One showed it as a visible human form, the other showed it as a visible palace. Seventh wonder of the world. You will demonstrate it as your freedom from the material powers that claim to exist, and your silence before them is your statement that they are not power, that all power is contained within your infinite invisible body, and there is no opposite. Yesterday I was chastised for speaking beyond the tape. We lost some of the words, somebody said. So today I will not speak beyond the tape. I really get carried away too much. I thank you, and we'll see each other tonight again. And I think we can now go into the fifth commandment, Father, Mother.